Glory to God. Well, as my wife said, we were out of town last week, you know, and it's right and good to get away at different times and do things that are not related to the work that you do. The Bible, Jesus often had the disciples do it, spoke to them about getting away and going to just rest. Really, that was the heart of what we wanted to do this week. You know, this year we had been we had missed about 5 specific meetings, or me in particular, 5 meetings I was going to be in. And usually when I go to those meetings, you know, they're used for a time of refreshing and a time to reset, a time to hear from God, because you know pastors need to get fed too. Praise the Lord. And unfortunately, because of everything that's been going on, most of these have been canceled or changed to a place where I can't go to them. And so we saw a need to get away and just kind of spend some time with God, in which we did. We went away as a family, and we did get some resetting. Praise the Lord. I'm still looking forward to the meetings that we get to go to in the future. If there's anything I've learned, it's the importance of being connected to where you're connected. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And to get that feeding, it's so important for all of us. None of us grow out of it. You know, one time when I was with my pastor, Pastor Tim Stallman, we went to California. And Pastor Nancy had asked him, we were out there, he was teaching in the Bible school, but Pastor Nancy had asked him to minister in their Tuesday night service. And Pastor Tim, you know, was very reluctant because, of course, he was around a general in the faith. He was around Pastor Nancy, and he was like, you know, I would just love to sit, you know, under you. And she said something to him that I thought was quite interesting. You know, and he wasn't, of course, he ministered a wonderful message. You know, anyone who's called is capable, amen? And if you're called, in a moment, you're capable in that moment. Praise the Lord. Even if you don't feel like it, and especially if you don't feel like it, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And so anyways, Pastor Nancy said to him, she's like, you know, I need to feed too. I need to eat too. Glory to God. And I just love that, because here's a great woman of faith, somebody who is far greater than any of the other ministers that I know, that I associate with, praise the Lord. And here, you know what I mean? Somebody who has been faithful and has done so much for the Lord and hears from God, and God uses her in amazing and huge ways, you know. But she even said, she's like, even I need to feed, you know. And so that just gives me, it gave me some hope, but it also gave me some understanding on things that we all need the local church. We need to feed, praise the Lord. And so pastors need to feed too. And you know, one of the great things that this trip enabled us to do is, you know, we didn't get going every day till about noon or 1 o'clock. And the reason was my wife and I would, you know, we had this nice screened in porch that was up in the mountains, and we would just go out there and we'd sit and read the word for a little while and just kind of, you know, get some revelation from God. And don't you know that God met me every single time? You know, something else I found about God is that every single time you go to him, he'll meet you. Every single time, if you go to him hungry, if you go to him, Lord, I expect you, and with expectation, amen. You have to have the expectation that God is going to meet you, amen. Because if you don't have the expectation, well, that's not faith, and God isn't pleased by lack of faith. He's pleased by faith. And so I've learned that I go to God. Whenever I open the Bible, I'm going to God, amen. Praise the Lord. This is the primary, first and foremost way that you're ever going to hear from God, is right here in his word. Amen. In fact, one of the things that I've learned by following the Lord is that his spirit speaks to me through the word, and that whenever he speaks to me, he always uses the word. Amen. And what does that do? It keeps me safe. It knows that I can test the spirits and know that it's of God. Amen. But at any rate, I go to the word expecting to hear from him, and he always speaks to me, even if it's just a few minutes. I there's times where I just open the word. I don't even know where I'm going. Sometimes I just open the word somewhere and say, I'm going to go here. Praise the Lord. I expect God. You know, one time I even did this. I put God to the test, you know. Sometimes it's good to do that, not really, but not in this way. In this way, it's good, praise the Lord. But what I did was, is I went to, you know, there's sometimes in the Bible where there's a long list of genealogy, where it's just, scripture after scripture of so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and it just gives you all the, you know, all that. And I thought to myself, as I've read those before, you always want to just skip over them, you know, and skim through them or whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, surely you're not going to hear any great revelation through those. Surely God can't talk to you in just the genealogy. But you know what's interesting? One day I decided to put it to the test, and I said, Lord, I believe that your whole word is the whole counsel of God. God. That everything you want me to know, I can get something out of everything that's in there. Amen. And so I believe that there's something in here, and I just want to see you do it. Now, I did that two different times with two different sets of genealogical scriptures, if that's a word. Amen. Or something like that. Amen. I did that two different times. And each time, God gave me something fairly profound, actually. Something that I had never seen before. A greater understanding of Him, of the Word of God, through those scriptures. Amen. So there's no scripture that's without purpose or without plan. Amen. You know, I love as my wife was talking, you mind if I just talk for a minute, just some things on my heart and just figure out flow with that. But, you know, as my wife was reading Jeremiah 29:11, you know, in the beginning, of course, we bring up that scripture all the time. And it says the thoughts I think towards you. But if we know how God works, God is a God who works through plans. He's always got a plan. And so God doesn't think random thoughts. In fact, He doesn't think idle thoughts. Every thought that God thinks has a purpose to it. And if it's got a purpose, that means there's a plan involved. Amen. So if He's thinking thoughts towards you, then there's a plan involved for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know that it's a good plan. Plan to be a blessing and to be prosperous. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called, Have You Been Born Again? Amen. And this is not an outreach message. This is not a message that I'm trying to get people saved. Amen. But we're going to be looking at part of what happens when we get born again. Well, part of what the purpose is to being born again. Amen. Because, you know, the thing is, as a church, one of the things we are, as a people of God, is anybody in a plan? If you're a military unit and you're overseas fighting some battle, you know, you have to have a plan. And it's good to check up on that plan all the time. You know, there was a story of a person in the military. It was maybe in World War II or something, and maybe on the Japanese side. I think it was on the Japanese side. And this person had kind of gotten separated from his group or whatever. I forget the whole story. So I'm just giving you the roundabout idea to show a point. Amen. But this soldier had gotten separated, and so he hunkered down, found a spot, hunkered down in the woods, and he in the you know, jungles or something like that. And it was like 20 some years or something like that. This man was out there. The war had long ended. He was waiting to get the next command. Everybody else that tried to go talk to him, he just shot at him or something like that because he didn't trust them. He was waiting for his command, his direction from his authorities. Yeah. Amen. Which he never seemed to get. And so he ended up being there for it was like decades. He was out there for a real long time until finally somebody broke through and got him and he was able to come back. But you know, that's what happens when you don't check up with the plan. Is you get the first part of the plan maybe, and you start off on that. But unless you keep checking in, unless you keep getting the going forward, amen, you can get off, or you can get lost, or you can get separated from where you're supposed to be. And so that's what we do here. As I seek the Lord, of course, oftentimes He will bring me to a place where we need to kind of reset. We need to go back and look at the foundational things, amen. And so we're going to do that tonight, but these aren't foundational things in that you need to be saved, that you need to be born again. Of course, we know that, assuming that everybody here is born again, and if you're not, we can give you an opportunity later. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But have you been born again? Now, I wrote down a few thoughts, a few things that the Lord, I heard in my spirit specifically, and I'm just going to read them as they came to me. It was about this message, but it was during the time I was meditating on these things. Amen? But the first thing is, our faith is not about what God can give you. It's about what He did for you so you could live for Him. Let me say that again. Our faith is not about what God can give you. It's about what He did for you so you can live for Him. In other words, our faith is not about what God can do for us in the future. It's about what He's already done for us so that we can live for Him. See, God's plan, everything that God's done for us is included in His plan. You say, well, why do I got to be in His plan? Why do I have to be in His plan to do something good for you? For Him to do something good for me. Well, the reason is because God did a lot for us when we were deserving of the absolute worst. When we were deserving of the absolute opposite, God intervened and he said, I'm going to save you. But he said, because I'm going to save you, there's a plan and there's a purpose to this that I want to use you for. Amen. And we're going to see that this is connected to much more than just us. Amen. So our faith is not just about what God can give us. You know, so often when people go to God, that's how they're going to God. And this is why people don't have prayers answered. They spend their lives going to God looking for stuff, instead of going to God looking for the plan. I'm going to assure you, God has shown me this in just a few years of pastoring, and I assure you, I can assure you on it. This is the direction of the churches that I pastor anyways, is that if you seek stuff, you are going to spend your life seeking stuff, and you will never get anywhere. But if you seek God and not stuff, when you put stuff to the side, and whatever stuff is, amen, and whatever stuff looks like to you, anything that you are after, if you put it to the side and allow God to bring things in your life, you just follow God. You just seek God. You don't need to seek God on things. You don't need to ask him for a bunch of stuff or get it all figured out. You say, Lord, show me your plan. Help me to walk in your plan. Help me to know what you want for me or what you have for me to do, and help me to walk that out. Stir me up. Give me the things I need to do that. When you see God just like that, God will always meet you, and the stuff will be something you don't even have to think about. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. The next thing I heard is faith is about seeing you in him and not you in you. So our faith is about seeing us in him. How do we connect to him? This is what true faith is. True faith is not about, you know, what can I do for me, or how can I be a better me, or how can I be a more, you know, how can you be a more better you? It's about how you can be better for God. Amen. How you can be more connected to God's plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, in Ephesians, what is it? Ephesians 2, verse 10, maybe somewhere around there. It tells us that God has saved us for works, that we are not saved because of our works, but we're saved for good works. Amen. Which he has set apart beforehand that we should walk in them, the Bible says. And so we have been saved by grace for works. Amen. By God's grace, he has saved us, but he saved us for a purpose. Amen. If we are not walking in that purpose, we are missing what God has saved us for. And so we're missing all the answers, all the things that we're after. We're missing all that stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, when I was meditating on being born again, the Lord started showing me some things about birth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not natural physical birth. That's not what I'm talking about. It wasn't graphic or anything like that. But he was showing me some other things. And these are some of the things that I picked up there. Being born, we enter a family. So when you were born naturally, you entered a family. You didn't choose the family you entered. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose them to make you. You didn't choose any of that stuff. You entered some kind of family. Amen. Now, the family that you entered was a human family. That family may have been blessed, or that family may not have been blessed. That family may be following God or know God, and that family may have known nothing of God. Yeah. You know, that family may be very wealthy, or that family may be very poor. There's all kinds of variables that could happen when you're born that you don't control. Praise the Lord. And the thing is it's because you're born into this earth. Now, this earth is a fallen world. And because it's a fallen world, not everything is going to be perfect in it. So when we're born into whatever we possibly could. Amen. The purpose of being reborn is to resurrect that which is corrupted to a place of incorruption. And so we have to understand that God has, we talk about being born again Christians. What does that mean? It means that we are born anew. It means that God has recognized that the place that we were born into was corrupt. Amen. Now, we understand this, that the place that we were born into was corrupted to the point of no salvation. In other words, the world is not saved. The world is not going to be saved. The ways of the world are not going to be saved. In fact, we know if you read and study the Bible, one of the things that you'll learn about the world is that it will all burn up. It will all be destroyed. God, the Bible says that he makes a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. That was not God's original plan. But that is what's going to happen to it now, because this world cannot be saved. Amen? So the purpose of being reborn is to resurrect that which is corrupted, which we are. We're corrupted when we're born into this world, and to place us into a place of incorruption. Amen? This world, this life, are corrupted and will remain so because the world will not die to itself. God's mercy allows us to remain, but we remain with a task. Now let me say that again. This world will not exit corruption, because this world, the way of this world is to go to itself, to fix itself, help itself. This thought has gotten into Christianity, and this is a bad thing, because this is completely opposite who God has reborn us to be. If you have been saved, if you've been blood bought, you have been born to be transformed into something new. And this is the thing. If you're transformed into something new, then you have to leave that which is old behind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, this world will stay the way it is. It'll stay corrupted because it won't die to itself. And so will all the people who won't die to themselves. And I'm not saying die like death, physical death. Amen. But die putting those deeds of the flesh. Amen. God's mercy allows us to remain, but remain with a task. Praise the Lord. We treat this life, so often we treat this life as the destination, when this life is really only a beginning. Most people treat this entire life, see, and most Christians do too. I see this so often with Christians, you know, Christians, especially when around things like death. And this is the truth. This life is only the start of a destination. It is not the destination. The people that get tripped up on people like people dying and going to heaven is because they haven't fully realized yet that this earth, now of course we miss people that pass on. There's nothing wrong in that. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about people that get really tripped up. They can't proceed further in life because somebody has passed on. If someone has passed on, they've passed on into the next part, but it's just more of the life. Amen. It's the life that God has for us. We have to start looking at the eternal life as our goal. That's our destination. We have to start looking. And listen, if you get to your, when we were driving to our cabin last week, praise the Lord, when we started off, we left right after church on Sunday, and we start driving. You know, in the first few hours, you're doing pretty good. The last few hours, you're thinking, get me to the destination. Just get me there, amen? Sometimes I pray that. Sometimes I look at life that way. I'm like, Lord, just get me to the destination. I'm sick of dealing with this life. I'm tired of dealing with this stuff. Just get me to the destination. We have to be okay with the destination. In fact, we don't just need to be okay with the destination. We have to embrace the destination, knowing that that's where we're going. That's the goal. And so if we get there in the right time, or even an early time, that is good if we got there right, if we did all that we were supposed to do along the way. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know you want to get to Scripture. We'll get there. So let's not treat this life as a destination anymore. You know, people who are so focused in this life, I just got to have this now or do this now. They're wrapped up in the destination, this place being the destination. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 27:14. Praise God. Psalm 27:14. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now that word wait, it literally means to wait in faith. It doesn't just mean wait. You know, you can wait, but not wait in faith, right? You can be wait and be impatient, but this means wait in faith. Wait with expectation. Amen? That's what it also means. Wait patiently. It's not time to move until it's time. We have to understand that. We have to understand that not all things come when we want them or how we want them, but we need to get in God's plan and find out what that is. The Bible says to wait expectantly is what I'm adding the words, but that's literally what it means. Wait in faith, wait expectantly on the Lord. Be of good courage. And then if you're of good courage, if you're waiting patiently, you're waiting in faith, waiting with expectation, he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, when it says he'll strengthen your heart, no, it doesn't mean that you get answered. No. It means he'll strengthen your heart and help you be able to wait longer. Right. Yeah. Amen? So we have to understand this, that the waiting on God is the most important thing that probably that we can do. Waiting for God to move, waiting for God's timing. This is why we seek the Lord. Amen? The strength of the heart comes with waiting in faith. The only way strength is going to come to you, if you're at that place where you're waiting on God and waiting on God and waiting for something to happen, and you just don't know when it's going to happen, and you're just getting bent, praise the Lord, you have to understand the only way to get strengthened is to wait in faith. Wait expectantly. Now, we expect good things. We expect Him to do good things, but it still means that we got to wait. Praise the Lord. We are going to get somewhere with this. Glory to God. We're going to talk about being born again. So now I want to transition from there. I want to go over to 1 Peter. I wanted to start at kind of there, waiting on the Lord, the idea of waiting in faith. One of the things that we are, turn to 1 Peter 1. One of the things that we are waiting for is the fullness of God's plan. God's plan for whatever part of the plan it is, or whatever part we're included in. Of course, His plan is much bigger than just us. But whatever part we're in, you know, it has timing that's involved. Praise the Lord. But we need to get our focus on the right things, not the current things. And what I mean is we need to get our focus on the things that God has for us, not the things that we're waiting to achieve today. 1 Peter, I gotta find it, used to be in my Bible. Praise the Lord. That's what happens when you talk. And there we go. 1 Peter 1. I'm gonna start in verse 3. Glory to God. 1 Peter 1, 3, and we'll read through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want to stop there. You know, when I was looking at this, I don't know how you look at the word, but when I was looking at this, you know, kind of begotten us again to a living hope, I was kind of trying to figure that out with the you know, what he was really saying there. And then it dawned on me, and that's where the title of the message came from, that literally begotten, you know, so-and-so, when the Bible says so-and-so begat so-and-so, or begat so-and-so, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about being born. And so He has begotten us again, or He has born us again to a living hope. Amen? So through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a living hope that has been placed in us, okay? This, I love that it says a living hope. So this is something that we're supposed to live with. A living hope is something that is not something that's off into the future. It's not something that was off into the past. A living hope is current. When you say something is living, it's current, amen? If something has ended its life cycle, then it is dead. It's not living anymore. And if it hasn't got there, hasn't been birthed yet, it's still not living. Amen. It's not living until it's been birthed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, what we mean by birth, and I just heard this in my mind, so I want to make sure this doesn't apply to babies. Yeah. Amen. Because although they're birthed into the world, they start living in the womb at conception. Amen. So that it's not, you know, this is talking about something different. Praise the Lord. So a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord. So I look at that word. I see that word reserved, and that popped off at me this time when I was looking at it. Reserved. When something's reserved, you know, if you go to a restaurant, one thing they almost always ask you for, if it's a nice restaurant or something, do you have a reservation? Now, there's been places that we go to, there's been restaurants that we go to that you have to get a reservation early on or you're not going to get one. And so people will go there, and I've seen people turned away from restaurants. Do you have a reservation? I said, no, then you have no place here. I'm sorry, we can't even seat you. Praise the Lord. So I thought about this when I see this word. When the Bible says reserved, He's got something that's reserved for, it's waiting for us, it's ours, amen? It belongs to us that the right time, we get the table, amen? Glory to God. It's an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it does not fade away. Glory to God. The things of this earth are corruptible. They are defiled and they will fade away. But God has something better for us. He has a living hope. This is the thing that we should be living for. If it's a living hope, we should be living for it. A living expectation, amen? Something that we can expect now. We are looking for that reservation, that thing that God has for us. But listen, there's a plan and there's a part that we need to play to get to that place effectively, to get to that place as we should. Because it goes on to say this here, who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept in this life. That word kept is the same word as protected. It's the same idea that God keeps us. He protects us. He keeps us from trials, or keeps us from troubles, I should say. He keeps us from ruin. He keeps us from destruction. All of these things are wrapped up in there. So we understand that through this faith, through this belief that Christians should have, this living hope, this expectation of things in the future, of a place where God wants to bring us to, a final destination that is incorruptible, as he brings us through this life, he brings us through the corruption, he brings us through the defilement, brings us through the destruction. So why, when we get born again, why aren't we just zapped right out of here and put up there? Because God wants all people to get there. And he knows that all people aren't going to get here unless some remain here. Because if God takes away all the good out of here, all that's left is what's bad. So God keeps us here for a purpose. Christians, are we fulfilling the purpose that God has saved us for? Are we fulfilling this living hope? Because this living hope is not just for us. This living hope is for all people. Jesus died for everybody. But when we get so wrapped up in what's going on, when we get so wrapped up in everything that's not God, when we get our hearts and our minds on everything other than God and his plan and what he's doing and his word, when we do these things, why do you think there's so much distraction? In the end times, it is not surprising that the distractions have multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to pull you away from the end goal. Right. Praise the Lord. We are kept by the power of God through faith. I just highlighted these parts because the way it worked out, we are who are kept through faith. Praise the Lord. Now we are kept by the power of God, but it's the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Amen. It's time that Christians return to an awareness of his kingdom. Christians have spent so much time getting distracted that they are no longer aware of his kingdom and the things that God wants to accomplish. Listen, the most important thing that God is doing starts right where you're sitting. The most important thing. If we don't go out into this life and live as Christians should live, listen, the focus on jobs, the focus on houses, the focus on cars, all these things have got to end at some point if we're going to fulfill the plan of God. Because without these things, the Christians are just as distracted as the world. This is why Jesus told us in Matthew 6 to not worry about what you'll put on, to not worry about what you'll take with you, to not worry about supplying food for yourselves. He said, I'll supply all that. He said, don't worry about that. Think about a soldier. If America was in a war and we sent soldiers across the seas, but the whole time they were over there, they had to figure out how they were going to get ammunition. They had to figure out how they were going to get food. They had to figure out how they were going to they were going to get all the supplies they needed and all that stuff. What would happen? We'd lose the war. And that's exactly what could happen with Christians if they get too distracted, is they start losing the war. Now, ultimately, God isn't going to let the whole thing crumble, because there will be faithful. He will reserve those who will be faithful. But we might as well be connected to those who are being faithful, because we don't want to stand before him and say, hey, man, you lost. I mean, you can come into heaven, but you lost. You lost the fight. You lost the battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead and turn with me to Colossians 3. Praise Praise the Lord. It's time that Christians return to awareness of his kingdom. Colossians 3 and verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 17. It says here, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. If you were raised with Christ, if you've been born again, glory to God, seek those things which are above. All the things, listen to me, all the things, without exception, that you can seek in life, all the things that could possibly distract you from the plan of God, praise the Lord, you have to lay all those things aside. Because if you're focused in any of them, it will distract you from what God is going, trying to take you. Amen? We see this so often, especially today with young people. Young people are so distracted by what is going on around them. They're so distracted by life, trying to figure out life, when the whole time God just says, seek those things which are above. He will work it out. God will lead you where you need to be. He'll put you with who you need to be with. He'll put you in the churches you need to be in. He'll put you around the people that you need to be with. He'll put you in the jobs that you need to be in. All of these things. God will take care of all those things, but you have to seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. This is not a suggestion. This is not a suggestion. He is not telling us to, you know, if this sounds good to you, if this works in your schedule, if your life is just so, then you should follow me like this. If you're called to ministry, do these things. No, he's talking to the whole body of Christ here. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. See, people have their focus on the things of the earth, and that's why they miss what God is doing. See, people are trying to get prayers answered, and what they're doing is they're spending all this time focused on these low things. All these things are corrupted. So when you're thinking, when your focus is on all these little things, your mind is corrupted. Your thinking's corrupted. Your thoughts are not his thoughts, the Bible tells us. Your ways are not his ways. Your ways are the world's ways. Your thoughts are the world's thoughts. That's why you made poor decisions. Amen? This is why I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost has entered my life, and he doesn't, when I yield to him, he gives me thoughts that are higher than my thoughts. He teaches me ways and gives me direction. I don't launch into any plan without seeking the Lord. Lord, what is your plan for me? Without your plan, without God's plan, we are nothing. We are corrupted. And if it's corrupted, it's not good. It's not working. It's not right. And it will hinder us. It will hinder the plan of God. It will hinder what God wants to do. Amen? God wants to use us. He expects to use us. But we have to set our mind on the things above. For you died, the Bible says, and your life is hidden in Christ. With Christ in God. Amen. Glory to God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen? I love it when it says, with Christ who is our life. You know, a lot of people, I remember when I first heard John 10:10, the thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said he is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So our life is in Christ. It's found in Christ. If it's indeed found in Christ, this is where the answer to all things are for our life, is in Christ. But we have to ask ourselves, are we actually conforming our life to Christ? You know, Christians, I think this is something that we need to ask ourselves often. This isn't something that you ask yourself just because Pastor Jeff preached it today and then you forget about it. I go to God, I can say I go to God, I think almost daily, if not daily. And Lord, am I in your plan? Is there something else you want me to do? Do you want me to do things in some fashion, some way, some form like that? I go, and that's not because I'm a pastor, that's because I'm a Christian who knows better. Amen? It has nothing to do with me being a pastor. Pastoring was found in that, glory to God. And it wasn't found because I went and picked it out. Certainly wasn't found there. It was found because I found out that's what it was. I would have never chosen this for me. God chose it for me, but I would have never known it had I not sought God. See, we have to seek God because we have to know exactly where He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. Amen? And this just isn't happening. We have so much of the church world that is a preservation, self-preservation church. And what it is, it's not an eternal preservation church. It's a self-earthly preservation. This world is corrupted. It's passing away. It's dying. It's going to be destroyed. So you're trying to preserve something that is decaying, that is falling apart, that's corrupted. It would be like going out on the street. Say you wanted a pet. And you're driving down the street, and you notice that there's a cat that had been on the side of the road that expired. It's the equivalent of you getting out of your car and trying to make that cat your pet. That's what people are trying to do when they're trying to preserve this life. That's what people are doing when they're focusing on this life. They're going to the dead cat on the side of the road, and they're naming it Fluffy. Well, it might be aptly named Fluffy, but it isn't because it's going to be fun to pet. Amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. I don't want to get more graphic than that. But my point is, that's what people are doing. This life is passing away. This life is temporal. This life will not last. Even if you live what's considered a long life, even if you live into your early hundreds or something like that, where few people go, it's still temporal. It's not that long. It's over before you can blink. People are trying to preserve this. Christians are spending their lives trying to preserve this life. Yes. And it's absurd. Yes. You would look at a person who pulled over on the side of the road trying to resurrect a cat or anything else, and you would look at them as absolutely foolish. Now, I saved a turtle once. My family knows about this. I saved a turtle once that was trying to cross the road, and he wasn't going to make it. Amen? But that's different. He was still alive. Amen. You can save that which is alive. But they're trying to preserve that which is dying or decaying. Glory to God. Where are we? Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. See, passion is a big thing. Oh, let me talk about passion. Passion is something that is very prevalent on the earth. See anybody who's passionate today? Have you noticed? Have you watched the news for a minute and saw anybody who's passionate about something? Yeah, that's not a good thing. Amen? Passion for God is good. Zeal for God is good. But zeal for all these other things, it's not good. See, if people just live right, it'll all work out. It doesn't matter what you come from. I was reading about how we all become one in Christ. I was studying that out. You know, he says there's no Jews, there's no Gentiles anymore. Do you know, literally, as Christ looks at us, there is no defining factor about us other than that we are Christ. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. God doesn't look at you with a defining factor saying, okay, you're white, or you've been raised in black in the ghetto, and so you deserve this or that. None of that stuff. God doesn't look at any of that. God says you deserve this if you're Christ, because this is what I've given you. If this is what I paid for. If you don't take this, then you deserve nothing. There's no, like, in actuality, if you really want to think about it, there's, in God's eyes, there's no such thing as human rights. Because your right is to die. That you have no rights. You didn't do anything that is worthy of living. Now, there'd be a lot of people that would hate that I'd say that. Might get kicked off of Facebook for saying something like, I don't know. But, you know, the truth of the matter, why? Because God wants to equalize us all. He wants to put us all in a place where we're blessed. God isn't trying to bless lower things like your race or your gender. God doesn't care about that stuff. It doesn't matter to Him. Yes, He cares about it in the sense that He made you who you are, and so He saw fit to make you that way. Yeah. Amen. But God didn't make you that way to define you. He made that way as a blessing to you. Yeah. He made you the way He made you to bless you. Glory to God. He made males and females to be a blessing. There's a reason there's not a third gender. There's a reason he made males and females. But he made various colors, various sizes, various shapes, all kinds of things to be a blessing. Amen? Well, glory to God. But God doesn't care about things that, you'll see, all this focus in life, that's what it is. It's all focused on the natural stuff. People say, well, this was unfair to me. Yeah, it's unfair to you. There's a lot of things that are going to be unfair to a lot of people. You ever heard about somebody who was imprisoned falsely for like 40, 50 years for crimes they didn't commit? Was that fair? Absolutely not. Praise the Lord. But God isn't about making that which is unfair fair. He's about imparting his life into us. He's about putting us into a place where we can receive of him and receive exactly what he has for us, which is good, amen? But people are too focused on the other stuff. Anyways, we got to get moving. So it says, therefore, put to death your... I wrote this down, I thought it was important. We must pass judgment... Oh, yeah, that's what I was... Yeah, praise the Lord. We must pass judgment on sin, not justification. We must, that's what the scripture's telling us. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. He's saying you have the ability to put to death your members. You do. So you have to pass judgment. You know what this looks like? I actually put this to practice when I got this revelation. I put this to practice right then. I was speaking about something, a sin that tries to stir up in my life. You have any sins that try to stir up in your life? Well, if you don't, you're lying. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So there's sin that tries to stir up in your life. The Bible says to put to death. That means to judge it. That's evil, it's wrong, and it's deserving of death. Death penalty. You're being the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Glory to God. That's what it's saying here. You put to death your members. This is what we have to. When you have something, a sin that tries to follow you and come back, what do? You give it the same judgment you always do. But what does this world try to do? They want to justify sin. Oh, I've been living this way, and I know the Bible doesn't say it. I know my conscience says it's bad, and they'll blame it on everything else other than what it actually is, because they don't judge it right. How would you feel if you heard you would be outraged? In fact, we see people getting outraged. If somebody gets unjustly killed or something like that, there's outrage over it, right? Or if people believe, even if it was justly, and they believe that it was unjust, even then, there's outrage over it, right? You would be outraged over it. Well, we should be the same way about sin. Outraged if we let it go. Outraged, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Put to death. Give it the death penalty, the death sentence. Glory to God. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of what things? Because of the things of the earth. Because of the members, what's in our members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. You know what evil desire is? Evil desire is this desire that's not God's. Yeah. Right. Praise the Lord. Are you desiring something that's not God's? Praise the Lord. That's not what God has for you. You better ask yourself, because you could be desiring anything, and if it's not God, it's evil desire. This is what brings God's wrath. He calls it sons of disobedience. When people reject the knowledge, they reject truth, they reject the things that God's saying, that God says, and they enter into these things which aren't for them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We should be set apart. We should look differently than what we do. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't look the way the rest of the world looks. And we wouldn't if we weren't focused on it. If we were focused on God's, we would say, you know what, one of the things I found, like my life now, I look at my life, and I think sometimes I'll hear somebody say or do something, you know, something lewd or crude or something like that. And it's something that I myself once like thought wasn't a problem. I see parents doing certain things with their kids that I myself at one time did with my kids. You know what I mean? Maybe they let their kids do something or let them get away with something or whatever, or they say something to them a certain way. Things I won't do anymore because I've gotten truth. Amen. As I've gotten truth, my life has changed. There's things that I don't do that I used to do. I don't have an issue sitting at a bar. I don't have an issue going into a bar. You know what I mean? I don't have something that draws me to go there anymore. Why? Because there's been change in me that I've realized. I put to death those things that I know were bad. I don't have an issue with sleeping around. Right. Why? Because I know that it's wrong. Right. I know that it's not God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't have a drug problem anymore. I don't have a smoking problem anymore. I don't have these issues anymore because I realize they're not from God. Amen. And over the years, God has worked these things out of me. Now, if you're dealing with any of these things, it doesn't mean that you're a horrible person. If you're working, but you need to work at getting these things cleansed out of you. You need to judge them and put them to death. And that's exactly what I've done. Amen. Now, I'm not saying perfectly with everything, but you understand. That's what my point is. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Now, that word lie literally means deceive. Ooh. Do not deceive one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, you deceive. You are a deceiver if you live in these things and think that there's justification for you doing so. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, and you may sit here and think, well, Pastor Jeff, but we're not doing any of these things. We're not living this way. Yeah, that may be so, but you understand that these things have to be taught and preached. These things have to be so into us that we reject them when we see them in the world, when we hear them coming from other Christians. These are not right. These are not things that we embrace. Glory to God. And it's what's funny is in some way or another, I see even good Christians embracing some of these things. I'm just telling you the truth. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. How are we renewed? In knowledge. The knowledge of the Word. When we renew our mind in the Word. This is why I always say, people who aren't in the Word, you are deceiving yourself. If you think that if you're not in the Word, you are not a good Christian. You are barely a Christian. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you will not renew your mind to knowledge. You will not know His direction. You will not know where He wants to take you. You will be lost. You are backslidden. I tell people this all the time, and I'm telling you, I'm just going to keep hammering it because it's the truth. If you don't spend time in the Word, you're deceived. Do not deceive one another. Don't sit there and think that you can be a good Christian just because you know some good moral things or because you spent some time in church. You've got to seek God. You have got to get before the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. According to the image of Him who created him. The new man it's talking about is our spirit. Our spirit will not be renewed if we're not renewing it. Glory to God. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, well, here it is, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all, is all and in all. In other words, Christ is everything. That's what the focus is. Christ is everything. Amen. Therefore, as the elect of God and holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Praise the Lord. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I wanted to read this verse to you in the Amplified Version. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. So peace is the umpire in our hearts, which should guide us. But listen, a heart that's focused on the things of the world will be a corrupted heart. If you're focused on the things of the earth, your heart's corrupted. You cannot hear the voice of God. You will block it out. There will be no umpire because there will be no peace. Not God's peace. Praise the Lord. And it finishes. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Isn't that an awesome verse? Praise the Lord. Let the peace of God act as umpire. But when our focus is not set on things above, but on things of the earth, there'll be no peace. Not the right peace. You may have peace. I try to get this across to people all the time. I say all the time, if you want something so bad that it's just consuming you, you are not able to hear from God on whether or not that's right. You're not able because you're corrupted. Because you have been corrupted by, even if it's something that's good, even if it's something, we've done this with everything from houses to cars, anything. It could be absolutely anything. Different things in the ministry. You could do it with, who to date, who to marry, all these things. If you are so focused on these things and you don't spend the time to focus on the things above and not the things of the earth, because those things are here. Relationship, marriage is not for heaven. Marriage is for here. Praise the Lord. Ministries are not for heaven. They're for here. All these things that we interact in day to day, they're for here. And if we don't learn how to set our minds on things that aren't around us, then we won't be, we'll be deceived. We'll deceive ourselves. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice how all these things are connected. Right? Being led is connected to the Word of God and to the knowledge and the Spirit. Setting your mind on the things above. How do we set our mind on the things above? Right here. The Word of God teaches us. So if you're not, you see what I'm saying? So if you're not in the Word, you're deceived. Because you're not setting your mind on things above. And if you think you're okay, you're already deceived. Because you're not setting your mind on things above. It's just that simple. I have to get back to the Word all the time. And I say this all the time. Whenever God speaks to me, he speaks to me through the word. I got to get moving. Praise the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're setting our minds on things above. This is what it means to be born again. Turn with me to Psalm 27. People want to know what it is to be born again. What's it mean to be born again? It means that you've set your mind on the things above. It means that you've given your heart to the Lord, truly given your heart to the Lord and seek him for your direction. Being born again is not just saying, Jesus, come into my heart so I can be saved and not go to hell. Right. See, that's a fallacy. We can pray that prayer, but just because somebody prays that prayer doesn't mean that it makes the difference. What makes the difference is what's the heart attached to it. Yeah. You know, I've had people pray that prayer and never come back to the church again, never go to a church again. They're not saved. Right. I should be careful. I mean, there may be a sliver of hope there. But the reality of the matter is if there's never a change, man, I don't know if they've been born again. Why? Because if you've been born again, you look different. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 27:13, we're going to close here. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. And then, of course, back to the scripture we started it with, wait on the Lord. Glory to God. Waiting on God is not just about waiting for God to do things. Waiting on the Lord is not just about waiting on him to bring us. It's waiting on God to bring those things to pass, which he has said to do, he said that he would do. The reason we have a scripture like, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would have seen the goodness of God and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living is because believing that keeps our heart strong. Believing those things that God wants to bless us gives us the ability to focus on things that aren't on this earth because we know that God's bringing them to pass. But I'm going to tell you one, I'll give you the truth right now. If you focus on the things of the earth, if you're trying to focus on getting, God won't ever bring it to you. He's not looking to deliver it. There are Christians that forego what God has for them, and it's exactly what they want, simply because they don't listen to what the Word says and put their hearts on Him. Their hearts are on the thing. And because of that, God can't do anything with it. You know, of course, God, you know, the Lord told Brother Hagin that He blesses His people as far as He can. And I believe that. I believe that's scriptural. He does as much as He can, as far as He can. But God isn't going to bless us with things that aren't a blessing. And if we won't, you know, if it's going to ruin us, He won't bless us with it. Amen? Because it won't be a blessing. God's blessings are truly a blessing. Amen?